morning in 1942. A mother was blessed with a son who grew up to be young, gifted and proud, with the strength to tear a mountain down, with a voice so young and clear, a chance for everyone to hear. Yeah,
young, gifted and proud.
And as he grew up,
Magandang gabi sa inyong lahat, and welcome to the Filipino American National News. I'm Alan Bunju. On tonight's show, we'll have news from the Philippines concerning the election, which is taking place right now as we speak. It's currently 10:02 a.m. in the morning in the Philippines. We also have an article from the LA Times and also some news from the entertainment world. And we have a particular theme for our music this evening. We'll get into that a little bit later. But for right now, we're going to head over to our first article of the evening. And this comes from Reuters. Polls opened in the Philippines on Monday in the country's most diverse presidential election in decades, with the prospect of a once unthinkable return to the rule of the Marcos family 36 years after they were toppled in a people power uprising. The election pits Vice President Lenny Robredo against the former senator and congressman Ferdinand Marcos Jr., the son and namesake of a dictator whose two-decade rule ended in a public revolt and his family humiliating retreat into exile. Opinion polls put Marcos, popularly known as Bongbong, leading the rival by over 30 percentage points, having toppled every poll this year. That means Robredo will need a large surge or low turnout if she is to win the presidency. Voters started lining up long before polls opened at 6 a.m., with polls stations due to operate for longer than usual because of the COVID-19 precautions. Polls close at 7 p.m., and the unofficial vote count could give an indication of the winner within hours. Marcos, 64, has presented no real policy platform, but his presidency is expected to provide continuity from the ongoing leader, outgoing leader Rodrigo Duterte, whose ruthless strongman approach proved popular and helped him to consolidate power rapidly. Robredo, 57, a former human rights lawyer and staunch liberal, has pledged to improve education and welfare, fight poverty, and improve market competition if elected. The Commission on Elections, the COMELEC, said on Monday it has not received reports of any major issues on the ground so far, but there were a minor delay to voting in some precincts in the southern province of Cotabato and Marawi. Our assumption is everything has been going well because there are no untoward and negative reports so far, the COMELEC spokesman John Rex Ladiango told a media briefing. Marcos cast his ballot in his home province of Ilocos Norte and only briefly spoke to journalists on his way out. Marcos is buoyed by the support of many younger Filipinos born after 1986 revolution, having launched a massive social media offense in an upbeat campaign that has carried undertones of historical revisionism. His supporters and social media influencers have dismissed narratives of blunder, cronyism, and brutality under martial law of his father as lies peddled by opponents, presented what his critics say is a different version of history. Marcos' camp has denied running misinformation campaigns. Despite its fall from grace, the Marcos family returned from exile in the 1990s and has since been a powerful force in Philippine politics, retaining its influence with vast wealth and far-reaching connections. The vote also presented an opportunity for Marcos to avenge his loss to Robredo in the 2016 vice presidential election, a narrow defeat by just 200,000 votes that he sought unsuccessfully to overturn. Marcos has steered clear of a debate and has campaigned on a message of optimism and unity on Saturday, telling hundreds of thousands of supporters that he dreamed of a victory of unity the entire Philippines. Robredo has promised supporters better education, healthcare, and public services if elected. A game changer in the election could be vice presidential running mate Sara Duterte Carpio, the incumbent president's popular daughter, who could transfer some of her father's huge support to Marcos. The president has not endorsed any candidate. About 65 million Filipinos are eligible to vote to decide on a successor to Duterte after 6 years in power. Also up for grabs are about 18,000 posts from seats in the Senate and Congress to mayors, governors, and councilors. And once again, that is from Reuters. But for right now, we're going to head over to our first set of tracks from the evening. And this slightly has to do with our news later on to the show about the entertainment world. But we're going to feature the music of artists, in fact, DJs, who were the touring DJs of comedian Joe Coy. The first of which is a DJ by the name of DJ John Magic. And here's a little treat of some of his DJ abilities.
Watch me take it up, then I break it down. I don't play sports, but it's a touchdown. I don't blend in, I'm a black sheep. And even then, they still follow me. I rock the race stripes, could go and check my closet. Never sure to go up, could go and check my wallet. I'm a comet, head of this planet. Sitting on the throne and these haters can't stand it. DJ, play my song.
Yeah.
once again. That was DJ John Magic with some of his remixes. For those of you that are familiar with Joe Coy and his tours, I believe DJ John Magic was his DJ when he performed here about 10 years ago, I believe, at the Hennepin History Trust Theater out there in Minneapolis. But right now, we're going to head over to our second article of the evening. And as I mentioned, this comes from the Los Angeles Times. A massive arch marking the eastern entrance to Los Angeles' historic Filipino town will be officially unveiled on Saturday in a community celebration featuring music, dance performance, and a speech from elected officials, including Attorney General Ron Bonta, Mayor Eric Garcetti, and Councilman Mitch O'Farrell. The historic Filipino town Eastern Gateway, officially called Talang Gabay, our guiding star, spans a Beverly Boulevard near the First Street Bridge. The 30-foot-tall, 82-foot-wide steel arch is the largest of its kind in the country, according to news releases. It is intended to serve as a monument to the Filipino-American community, which is one of the largest Asian-American groups in California, but has never had the visibility of Chinese, Japanese, or Korean populations. This community is so deserving of such an iconic, impressive landmark, O'Farrell said in a recent statement. The historic Filipino town Eastern Gateway pays fitting tribute to the incredible contributions of Filipino community in Los Angeles and beyond. The arch, which was designed by artists Eliseo Art Silva and Celestino Geronimo Jr., features the cultural symbols like the parol, a star-shaped lantern displayed by Filipinos during the Christmas season, and the guamamala, or hibiscus flower, which is intended to pay tribute to the frontline workers. It is topped with the ancient mythological figures, including the Saramanok, a bird that guides the harvest season, and the Naga, a serpent-like dragon associated with lunar and solar eclipses. Officials said earlier in the year that the arch would contain a QR code for an online walking tour highlighting the neighborhood's cultural landmarks. The project was spearheaded by Jessica Calosa, the first Filipina-American on the Los Angeles Board of Public Works, who wanted to act on a long-standing wishes of some of the fellow community members. The historic Filipino town Eastern Gateway project has nearly been 2 decades in the making, Calosa said in a statement in April when the arch was installed. It is a monument not just for the Filipino and Asian community, but for all immigrant communities who come to Los Angeles to build a life and a home. The celebration is set to begin at 4 p.m. with music and community booths at Beverly Boulevard and Belmont Avenue. A ribbon cutting is slated for 6:45 p.m. and the gateway lights will be turned on at 6:50 p.m. Beverly Boulevard will be closed from Union Avenue to Bixell Street for the event. Filipino Americans settled in the area after being displaced from their original neighborhood called Little Manila on Bunker Hill in downtown LA after World War II to make way for massive redevelopment projects such as the 101 and 110 freeways. At the time, the restrictive racial covenants limited where Filipinos could live. Historic Filipino town is now majority Latino, with a Filipino-American population of about 15%. Even so, it remains an important commercial and cultural center for Filipinos across the region. Some community members fear that the gentrification will do to historic Filipino town what post-war public work projects did to Little Manila, as luxury apartments are sprouting where strip malls once stood and where working-class Filipino families once lived. Amid the changes, those who have helped create the monument hope it will give a new generation of Filipino Americans a better understanding of their culture and history. The Talangabay Gateway is a beautiful symbol of neighborhood that holds great significance to Filipino Americans in Los Angeles, and we are proud to have been a part of the process. Kimmy Meninquez, executive director of the nonprofit Search to Involve Filipino Americans, said in a recent statement, SCIPA opens our community center on Temple Street later this year. We celebrate with the City of Los Angeles and our fellow legacy organizations in creating longstanding cultural markers that will honor the Filipino American community for generations to come. And for right now, we're going to head over to our second song of the evening. And this features DJ Ryan Live, who was Joe's DJ for his performances at the Orpheum, and his first performance at, I believe, was that Mystic Lake? Did he perform Mystic Lake? I think, yeah, his first performance at Mystic Lake a few years back, pre-pandemic. And this is his remix of the Music Chill Child song, Just Friends. With his remix of Music Soul Child's song, Jazz Friends. And we have time for one last article. And this actually does concern Joe Coy with the recent release of his trailer for his movie Easter Sunday, which comes out on August the 5th. And this comes from Variety. Universal and DreamWorks have released the first trailer for Joe Coy's Easter Sunday. The first trailer for Joe Coy's Easter Sunday. The film stars comedian in his first feature film role and is set around a family gathering to celebrate Easter Sunday. The first trailer debuted on CinemaCon. The film opened on August is opening on August the 5th and is a love letter to the Filipino community and his first studio film to star an all-Filipino main cast. Jimmy O. Yang, Tia Carrere, Brandon Wardell, Tony Namani, Eva Noblezada, Lydia Gaston, Asif Ali, Rodney To, Eugene Cordero, Jay Chattarashakar, Tiffany Haddish, and Lou Diamond Phillips star alongside Coy, who returns home for an Easter week of eating, laughing, drinking, and righteous fun. The trailer shows how Coy draws from both personal experience and in his stand-up comedy routine, as he features Coy's on-screen mother commenting on how he should have been a lawyer. Another family moment reveals how all have the same ATM PIN number in honor of Filipino-American boxer Manny Pacquiao's birthday. Haddish plays a cop who tells Coy, me and your dad used to be real intimate back in the day. Amblin is producing alongside DreamWorks. The film will be distributed by Universal Pictures domestically. Amblin Partners and Universal will share international distribution rights. The movie was directed by Jay Chandrasekhar, who was scripted by Ken Jeng. The film is produced by Rideback's Dan Lin and Jonathan Erich. Easter Sunday is executive produced by Coy, Jessica Gao, Yang, Cheng, Joe Malachi, Nick Reynolds, and Seth Williams Meyer. And right now, we are coming close to the end of the show. If you're looking to see the trailer on Joe Coy, you can find it on his various sites on all social media platforms. Also, you can also find it on YouTube as well. But we're going to end the show with DJ Turbulence, who is currently Joe's touring DJ with him right now as part of formerly the Breaking the Mold tour and now the Funny is Funny. Another news concerning Joe Coy that broke earlier this week is that his fourth Netflix special will debut in September, so a month after the release of Easter Sunday that comes out on August the 5th. And we're still awaiting news in regards to the pilot that he filmed for ABC entitled Joseph. But this is DJ Turbulence with his track Goal, entitled Gold. Stay tuned for sound effects. Yeah.
Let's go. programming is supported by Ramsey County and the Twin Cities Metro Regional Workforce Boards, presenting the 9th Annual Union Construction Industry Hiring Expo, with virtual and in-person options. On Thursday, May 19th, from 8 to 11 a.m. at the Carpenters Training Center in St. Paul, job seekers can meet with representatives of over 30 union contractors or training centers. At the virtual event, which runs from noon on May 18th until 5 on the 19th, job seekers can submit resumes at careerforcemn.com/metro.
Programming supported by People Center Clinics and Services. Reminding listeners that getting vaccinated and boosted against COVID-19 can help keep you and your family safe. Same-day and walk-in appointments are available for vaccines and boosters. Listeners can bring their 5 to 17-year-olds to People's Center Clinic in Cedar Riverside for vaccination, too. Appointments are also available by calling 612-332-4973 today.
Fresh Air Community Radio is KFAI FM Minneapolis St. Paul. Online and archived at KFAI.org. It's where community grows.
This is Sound Effects.